Let's roll. This is Countercharge, your podcast for ranks, flanks, and kings of war. Join your hosts as they delve into the world of Panathar and bring you worldwide coverage of all things Kings of War.
Welcome to Countercharge. This is Mark Schramm.
And I'm Rob Fanoff. Finally, after many, many months of discussing and working and planning, we finally got Mark Schramm, the great hobby painter, to join us for an episode. And Mark, I'm really excited to have you on. I know we met you at Best of the Rest / Masters at Nova this past year. And wow, some pretty armies. And I'm really glad to get you on to talk about some of that stuff.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Maybe we should start at the beginning. Who is Mark Schramm?
I'm a long-time hobbyer. I love to paint more than play, but I do love to play as well. I cut my teeth at old-school fantasy way back in the day with, I don't know if you remember Ravening Hordes.
The book that was between 5th edition and 6th edition?
Yes, sir.
It pissed me off because I had a Wood Elf army and they took away my chariots.
Yeah, like at the time, like I started in 5th edition where everything was just stupidly powerful. I played a Khorne army, 2,000 points, that was literally 17 models.
I just remember I had a unit of archers, Wood Elf archers, and there was 100 guys in the and there was one long line.
Exactly.
And then they would fly high, and then I couldn't shoot them.
But I loved it.
Hero Hammer at its best.
Exactly.
Obviously, you've been playing Warhammer Fantasy Battles for a long time. So give us a sense of what you've been playing over. You know, I mean, Fantasy died in 2015.
Yeah.
When did the Sundering happen? What happened?
When Fantasy died, obviously, I was distraught because I'd thrown so much money and so much time and effort into that game. Like, I traveled all around the country for tournaments. Like, I don't know if you remember back in the day, GW ran, it was like 6 GTs a year all throughout the country. And I went to as many of those as I could. Like, I went to Vegas for it, Chicago, Charlotte, Baltimore, like all over the place. Had a great time. So, that was what I loved to do. And then when Fantasy died off, I was kind of lost in a limbo. I really didn't know what to do after that. So people had introduced me to different games. I'm not a 40K guy. I don't like guns. I don't like, just stand across the table and shoot at each other. Like, even you'll talk about my army, like my elves don't have any shooting whatsoever.
We'll talk about that. Cause I was like, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was like, I've never seen an elf army like that.
Exactly. Like, it's just not what I'm into. So after that died, I gave second edition Kings of War a chance. But at the time, I don't just think I wasn't mentally ready for it. So I went to the dark side and I tried Age of Sigmar. And I waited until there were points. I never tried it when it didn't have points when it first came out. After they adopted the point system like they should have from the beginning, I gave it a shot. And I'm not going to lie, at first I had a pretty good time with it. Like, I went out to Vegas and played at LVO out there with Age of Sigmar. Just had a really good time with it. But over the years, there's certain rules you just can't avoid. Like, that double turn is such a pain to deal with. I just got tired of it, Rob. Like, it was just unreal. So back in, what are we now? 2024. So 2022, I went to ACO. That's the Atlantic City Open. And I played in an Age of Sigmar tournament there, and a bunch of my friends from around here, because I live in New Jersey, a bunch of my friends around here were playing in Kings of War at ACO. And so I went over and I was talking to all of them, and they showed me the game. And I was like, you know what? This looks like what I might be into a lot more than Age of Sigmar, because there were just a lot of things in that game that really stuck in my craw. I just couldn't get past it. And when I started playing with King's War, I didn't start right away because, I take forever to paint an army. I was adopted by this group of people. You know them as the Dojo. And they said, hey, come on by. And we went over this guy Derek's house and played a lot in there. And I was just using empty blank bases to start with. And that's all it was. And it took me 13 months to paint my army.
AOS is an interesting puzzle to me. On one hand, I love the models. The models are very cool. They're evocative. I think there probably is something to be said with painting individual models on round bases, maybe more artistic in the sense that you get to see and love and feel the whole model.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a big rank and flank guy. As a hobby guy, I can see that AOS would completely wash over you. Once you get over the shock that you're not playing ranks and flanks, the army still look cool.
Yeah, they did. The armies are super dynamic. They look great. But it's just the rule set is not a good one.
Yeah, we'll dive into that because, you have a unique perspective because we don't have a ton of people that have come over from AOS. Typically, people that are inclined to play Ranks and Flanks have been playing Ranks and Flanks for a long time, or they are maybe historical war gamers.
Like I played Warhammer Ancients way back in the day.
What other hobbies do you have? Because obviously you're a big miniature war gamer, but what other hobbies do you have?
I'm a big Pathfinder guy.
Role-playing.
Yeah, role-playing. Yeah, RPGs. Yeah, like I play Pathfinder. I got two different groups I run. I do it almost every Sunday, you know, from one group to the next. Love it.
Have you figured out how to make your role-playing work in Kings of War?
No, I try to keep them separately a little bit because there's people I know in the AOS community that do that to the extreme degree. Like they'll make up like backstories for each individual guy. I'm just like, yeah, that's way too much. To me, Kings of War is a tactical war game, and that's what I play it for.
You know, would you describe yourself as a competitive gamer?
I used to be a lot more competitive than I am now. As I got older, it kind of, I don't want to say it, the fire's gone, it's still there, but it doesn't burn as hot. I love to win, don't get me wrong, but even like this last tournament I went to, I went 1-4, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I think back to like Warhammer Fantasy and, you know, I was like, I gotta win. I gotta play good. And
yeah,
I still want to give my opponent a good game. I still want to be competitive, but I don't hang my whole self-worth on it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I don't either.
Yeah. It's funny. There's a lot of old timers, Mark Bird, a couple other guys that have been around the Warhammer Fantasy scene for a long time. And they come to our events and it's just like, they're just totally different people than they were when we were playing Fantasy with them.
I would have to say I'm one of them. I'm the same way. Like I used to be very competitive in the old Warhammer Fantasy days.
We're like the Betty Ford Clinic for ex-Warhammer Fantasy players.
gotta get that junk out of me.
You gotta get the junk out of you. You did mention ACO. You mentioned we played it Best of the Rest.
Yep.
Give us a sense of what other events have you attended?
Well, I'm relatively new to the Kings of War scene. I've only played in two tournaments so far. I went to the Best of the Rest, and then I just came back from Nerdhammer a couple weekends ago. Apparently, around here, there's a lot of events. I just haven't gotten my teeth dug into it yet because, well, I mean, like I said, it took 13 months to paint my army, so it took me a while to get ready to actually be able to play in fully painted tournaments. But I've got another one already lined up.
What's next for you?
It's called the Fully Loaded GT. It's run by Chet Dudek, and I signed up for that, so I'm looking forward to it.
And how have you found the Kings of War tournament scene so far?
They're fantastic. Everybody, like even at Nerdhammer, like, you know, I'm a new guy. No one knows who I am. I walked into the hall, sat down. Everybody came up, introduced themselves. So everybody is just super friendly. I've never had an experience like that in any other game system.
We've had that conversation a lot. You know, there's lots of different theories. You know, my theory is that, you know, the game doesn't really attract gacha gamers, the people that are there to make this list. It doesn't let you do what you want to do. Like some other games, you show up at the table. I mean, think back to Fantasy. When I showed up and I'm playing against Dark Elves, I kind of already know what's going to happen. Or if I'm playing against a Choir Bomb Warriors of Chaos list back in 8th edition, I knew.
Sure.
I already knew what they were going to do to me. And most of the time, don't feel that in Kings of War. The rule set does sort of facilitate some of this softer, gentler, kinder scene. Maybe it's just that the rules are attracting a different kind of player. Or maybe they're all like me and you. We're just older and we're a little more mature and we're a little less, you know, a little more gray and a little less worried about how we perform on the table.
Yeah, that is something that I discovered. Like, this is an older, not that much older, but like when you go to an Age of Sigmar event, you're looking at an average age of probably 30. When I went to the Kings of War events, people are considerably old. Like even at Nerdhammer, like I'm 56. Even at Nerdhammer, there was a dude who was 60 and another one who was 61. Just having a great time rolling dice. You don't see that at AOS events.
As you say that, I think, well, maybe because the rules are less complex, there's less bloat in them.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. They're less complex.
It may make it accessible to people that are more casual.
And I'll tell you one of the greatest appealing factors of this game is the Mantic Companion app. It has literally every army on it, every rule for everybody. So you don't have to buy $1,000 worth of books.
The companion, when you bring it up on Fanatics, it can be a bit of a hot button topic because there's some people that don't like subscription services, even though, yeah, there's a free version, but limited.
Yeah, it's very limited. Yeah.
But like when you pay for it, you have everything.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what these people are doing, but it's like $40 a year. I mean, just bite the bullet. Come on.
So you mentioned that there's an age discrepancy between, you know, maybe average age of a Age of Sigmar event versus Kings of War. What other differences would you identify between that scene and Kings of War?
In Age of Sigmar, my experience was you have a lot of people who come over to that from 40K. And the 40K community, I don't want to disparage it, but it's around here, it's been toxic. And so the AOS community is not that bad, don't get me wrong, but it's much more highly competitive. Everybody wants to win at any cost. Kings of War, don't get me wrong, you want to win. It's just a much more friendly environment. Like when someone double ones, no one is screaming and throwing dice across the room and raging. They're just laughing like, oh my God, this happened, you know, 2 games ago. It's just a different crowd.
Kings of War is a little more deterministic than some other games. Like, I think back to Warhammer Fantasy Battles, you know, we've all been hit by Dwellers Below, right? Oh, yeah. And we lose a third of our army in one go. And that really doesn't exist in Kings of War.
No, it does not.
The double one people complain about, but I've been playing this game since 2010, 14 years. I can probably count on one hand the number of games where a double one may have actually cost me the game. Thousands of games.
Sure.
But in the grand scheme of things, there were probably other things I could have done throughout that game that could have mitigated it and not put me in a position where I was down to this one dice roll has to happen.
Exactly. Exactly right. If you had planned better the turn before, you probably could have mitigated that double one.
You mentioned the companion. I don't have any clue, but how does that work in like Age of Sigmar? Do they have like an electronic thing?
They do, but it's always crappy. Like, I've never had a good experience with it. Like, there's often wrong war scrolls. You don't get all the information, and it's still a paid service. And if you want to use, and the way I believe it is now, I could be wrong with this because I haven't played it in 2 years. But from what I've heard is that in order to get, like, say, for instance, I want to, the Stormcast Eternals. If I wanted to play that, I got to pay for that to be able to have access to the Stormcast Eternals book.
Yeah, are you like buying the actual book or the codex or army book and then that gives you access in the app maybe?
Yeah, like there's a code in the back of the books that you can put in and then you get access for it.
You know, maybe that's something that I need to pick your brain about because that's a big distinction between GW games and the Mantic games. We don't do marketing the same way, right? Like, so in those other games, and to be clear, there's nothing wrong with that. I always say there's a game for everybody and everybody for a game. So if people like that style of games,
sure.
And they like that chasing the dragon, then nothing wrong with that. But in those games, there is continual updates. Like, you know, every couple months, there's a new codex or new army book, and it sort of shifts the meta, right? And there's a lot of FAQs, and we're not like that in Kings of War. It feels, from my perspective, up until maybe a couple years ago, we had one update a year. Now, there are some army refreshes that happen periodically throughout the year, but it's at a much slower pace. And do you like that change of pace from what you were dealing with Age of Sigmar?
Here's the issue with Age of Sigmar. It's my own personal issue because I take forever to paint something. So if I start an army, it's going to take me a year to paint that army. So by the time I find a book I like, pick an army, paint it up, it's already changed 11 times because there's updates constantly. There's the meta shifts where it's like, it's almost like you're chasing whatever the new hotness is. So like by the time my army is on the table and ready to go, I'm already 11 or 12 books back. And every book since mine, almost without fail, has been a little more powerful than the previous book. So by the time I get my army on the table, it's worthless.
It's interesting because I think it's a different way to chase balance. I think Mantic does genuinely try to have internal balance in the list and balance between the armies. It's not perfect.
And it'll never be perfect. And it shouldn't be.
And then the flip side is I kind of feel like GW probably, they just keep hitting the pendulum. They just keep moving it forward. And so the next book is the new balance. And the next, so you're just sort of chasing the boulder down the hill.
One of the problems I've had is, and this happened more recently, was like, you get your book out. You say, oh my God, I found this broken combination. I'm going to, you know, use this. I'm going to exploit it. I'm going to win some games. And then a month later, they're like, oh, errata. We took that away. So you've already bought all the stuff. You've already painted that stuff. You've already tried to play with it. Now, a month later, you can't use it. It's garbage. They nerf it into the ground. That has happened so many times.
Almost like it's intentional, maybe.
Yeah, I believe it is intentional. They want to sell certain models, so they make the rules exaggerated, and then they pull it back after a month.
It's fun to hear people's perspective from outside the game that come into it. We're a very small, I would say almost insular group. We're just a different breed of gamer.
And let me tell you, I've had a great time with this so far. Really, it's been fun. I've met great people like yourself. I met Kevin Spear. I met a lot of good people playing this game. And it's just, you know, at AOS, everybody's just faceless. You don't really get to know these people.
Played in both, you know, some Kings of War events, and you've played in lots of Age of Sigmar and even Fantasy before that. I wonder, part of it is that the culture that sort of built up around Kings of War, that there's sort of an emphasis on hanging out, meeting your opponent. After the games are over, let's stay in the hall and let's play some dice games. Let's play board games, whatever. And so, I mean, maybe talk to that a little bit, that different. I mean, I think it's a different culture, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I feel the same. Like, all right. So for instance, like when I would go to ACO or, you know, whatever other tournament I would go to, everybody stayed in their own little clique. Like if you knew a couple of guys, that's who you hung out with. You didn't go around and talk to other people. You're always trying to like, hey, what's his list? Am I going to play this guy next? What can I do to beat him? That's not in Kings of War. That's not been my experience. Like everybody is super friendly. I was always invited to go, you know, play other games, roll other dice, just hang out, get to know everybody. It was just much, much better of an experience than AOS has been. Now, granted, this is just my personal experience. Other people could have a different experience with it, but this is mine.
Just playing devil's advocate, that AOS just is a much bigger community.
Yeah.
When the size gets so big, it's harder. I don't want to say manage, because that feels like gatekeeping, but it's harder to, you lose some of the glow when it's 10 times the size, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
You've been to a bunch of events. It seems like you're on your second army that you've been painting up for Kings of War, which is awesome.
Yes, sir.
We talked about the rules, right? And the rules took a little while to grow on you.
Yeah.
I imagine the fact that you didn't have charge reactions was a thing.
That is the hardest part to get over.
And then also not removing your casualties.
Yeah.
I need to have my models removed and the number of attacks need to go down. And I had so many arguments with people. If you just do the math in 8th edition fantasy with the step-up rule, the point at which you lose attacks for losing models in Kings of War, you've already broken.
Yeah.
We're all entitled to our opinion, but like some of the criticism, like, well, I don't share that criticism.
Yeah, I understand.
We have different decisions. It's more about movement and deployment and putting your units in the right spot, as opposed to, I'm going to put my skinks out there. I'm going to flee away. I'm going to make you fail your charge. Conga lining, you know, some of the stuff that we would do with
Warhammer. Oh, yeah, fans. Some of the ridiculousness. Yeah, I remember it all.
I'm glad that some of that stuff is, or most of that stuff is gone. But, you know, so from a rules perspective, a lot of people love Kings of War. But talk to me from a hobby perspective, the ability to make dioramas, because you aren't tied to certain things.
Yeah.
They don't make half the models.
Yeah.
If you're making a Varangar army, they don't even make a Varangar army. You're kind of freed up to do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Tell a story and make your own. So, I mean, that's got to be exciting from a hobby perspective.
Like, I really enjoy the hobby perspective of it. My elf army, you've seen it. Like, my Dracon riders are big dragonflies. I've got, like, instead of a dragon, I've got a giant vulture. Like, you're able to just take other models that look or could be used similarly and make that your army if that's what you want to do. And that hobby aspect of it is very appealing to me. The basing of it, just being able to do the multi-base, like mine are all like a flowery meadows with a bunch of water effects and streams and all kinds of different stuff running all through it. And I really enjoyed that aspect. Like every minute of building that base, you know, it mattered to me because I really enjoyed putting it down.
Well, and we should mention the effort was rewarded. You've won best painted at every event you've been to, I think, right?
Yes, sir. So far it has, yeah.
You're 2-0 for best painted.
I am. I won best painted at both and at Nerdhammer. They also gave me player's choice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess we already know who's going to win the fully loaded best painted potentially.
I don't know. I mean, like, people get tired of seeing the same army.
Warhammer, we would have certain painters that were really good, but like they would take a long time to paint an army. And so you would see that same army over and over again. Kings of War is just a different breed. You can do some really cool things. You can tell some really cool stories. There's a lot of overlap between armies. So, you know, if you choose the right models and you base it appropriately, it's multifaceted and serves as you can use it for multiple armies. I guess that's the risk that we have in Kings of War, is that there is a lot of freedom in terms of model choice and basing and the storytelling, right? And have run afoul back in the day where somebody might take a piss and they might be like, hey, this is my horde of paladin knights, but I'm just going to paint a dragon, which The dragon looks beautiful, but it's not a Horde of Knights.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I feel it should represent what it is.
Yeah, and so that's something we've struggled with over time. And, you know, at one point we even had like a minimal model count to give some people guidance. Like, look, if you're going to paint a Horde, there should be models on the base.
Yeah.
What's really great is over time, the need for those extra stupid rules have went away. And we've kind of fallen back to the rule of cool, which is make a unit that communicates to your opponent what it is. If I can tell what it is, cool. You know, sometimes in the past, we'd have, like I said, a dragon. I look at the dragon and that does not scream knights to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if a unit flies, it should have wings or be ethereal or something like that.
Our community, as it's gotten bigger, though, I think it's sort of organically evolved to where people are kind of buying off on the notion of there's a consideration to your opponent, right? I want to make a pretty looking army that I want to enjoy painting, but I also have this magic circle at the table with this other player, and their experience needs to be part of my thought process and making sure I'm accounting for, like, I don't want to make an army that you don't understand.
As long as it can be clearly communicated what everything is, you know, at a glance, you should be fine. Like, if I see a unit of dudes running on foot, I'm like, that they're not knights. That's an infantry unit. Like, even if I don't know what they do yet, because I'm relatively new to the game, I understand their basic concept.
Well, and also, I think the way we unit base does help, too, because you can see the footprint and go, that's 120 by 80. That's a large infantry horde.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting how we've evolved as a community. And we don't have maybe some of the extra, maybe that's just, there's an expectation like that at this point, people realize like, or people expect you to come to an event with an army that doesn't confuse your opponent. Warhammer back in the day, I remember the infamous one, which is my buddy Domus, him and his buddy in a doubles event painted a minion army. This was like Gaven and Abyssal Dwarves.
Chaos Dwarves.
Yeah. Chaos Dwarves. Yeah. But they're all minion. And I'm like, I'm a visual learner and you're like visually screwing me up because they all look the same to me. Well, this guy has plaid overalls, so that means they're like, bro.
Oh, my God. No, no.
When you look at the hobby for Kings of War, what's your favorite part of it?
Oh, man, there's a lot. Like I said, I really enjoy the freedom of what models I can use. Like right now, I'm using all GW models because to me, they're just the best that are made. But don't get me wrong, there's other like 3D printing has come a long way. And as long as I don't see any like clear layer lines, they're good. So I like using high quality models and high quality modeling material to make my army look the best that I can. I'm not a genius. I will go on YouTube and steal ideas. I will find what other people have done and make it my own and really enjoy it.
Hobby 101. Why reinvent the wheel if somebody's already invented
exactly,
it?
Right? Exactly. Like when I went to go make my meadow bases for my elves, I didn't know where to start. So I found this guy online who was doing World War II dioramas in France. And I looked at it and I was like, wow, that is really gorgeous. Like he had a river running through it. I'm like, yeah, I think I can do that. So that's what I did.
The fact that we unit base allows you to do things you couldn't do with other game systems.
That's exactly right.
You can have a meadowed field with a trail running through it and a stream. I'm sure you remember back in the day when we were playing Warhammer, we had these unit filters.
Yeah.
You'd have a unit of guys and I would have like, well, I want to have some crates in the middle or I want to give some, you know, architectural interest to the unit, but they have to come apart and you have to be able to pull them out.
Yep.
You know, whether it was like worth five guys or four guys or two guys. And it was like a whole like mathematical geometry puzzle to get that to work. And you don't do any of that now. You just take the base, build the base up. If you want to have a 4-inch rocky mountain behind the unit,
you can have it.
Be my guest.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I know your elves and your Varanger are GW models. The dragonfly things, are those GW as well? And what range was that?
They are. They're converted. I used parts of things from the Sylvaneth range, things from the Nurgle range. I combined it all to make my dragonflies.
And the Varanger, I know I've seen a bunch of knights. Those are chaos knights of some sort. Or maybe they're called Vanguard.
Yeah, they're literally called Varanguard.
The nomenclature I've not been keeping up on with GW, yeah. So I'm definitely behind the times. Are you a 3D printer? Are you printing at your house?
I'm not, but one of my good friends, a member of the dojo, he is. He's got a really good 3D printer. So he's printed me up like just all kinds of different bits.
Have you dabbled in the Mantic Vault yet?
No, I have not. I know because my first army I chose was elves, I looked at the elf models and they are terrible. Oh my God, are they bad?
They're like 2009. So
yeah,
they probably just need to retire them and start over.
Yeah. And I hear that that's happening in 2025.
We could hope.
I got to tell you, the new Force of the Abyss models look really good. There's what they call the Nagari, the snake people. They look fantastic. And I was looking at those at Nerdhammer. Somebody had it, brought a unit on them. I was like, man, I want to paint that.
The crazy part is when they sculpt digitally for the vault, whether it's for like Armada, which is the naval game, like they have the Gari in the naval game, Kings of War Armada. You could just scale them up.
Oh, really?
One of my Phoenixes in the Salamander army, it's literally just this little dude that you could buy, or you can get the 3D file and print them up 300%, and they sculpt the stuff at full size.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so the vault, there's lots of cool things. You know, and maybe you could speak to that. Obviously, if you're not printing it, you know, yourself, but there's not a lot of companies that are selling in-store in retail locations hard plastic or resin, and in addition, offering up actual STL files.
Yeah.
I don't know there's anybody that's doing that.
Like I hear Trench Crusade is going to be the same.
That blew up on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it did.
Sometimes the names that have come up before back in our day in Warhammer sort of recirculate.
What's on your hobby desk?
We're getting ready to kick off a new hobby project for the Blue Cedar Brawl, which will be a doubles event. So it's pretty cool. You know, I've been meeting with my partner in crime, and that's the best part, Mark. I have to say, I enjoy painting, but when you're in that like really nice model and you feel like you're on the 10th, 11th, 12th, you know, hour, and you're just like, oh, yeah. You don't feel like you're making it. That beginning part is the most fun when you're coming up with the ideas and you're sketching out, well, we could do this, could be the background story. We could base it this way. I love starting stuff. Sometimes I have a hard time finishing it.
Everybody goes, I can't tell you how many armies I've started and put away.
Funny, I have been going through my pile of opportunity, and there's a lot of stuff in there. Old GW Warhammer stuff that, you know, I had Empire armies and stuff. The local game store had like a flea market. And I just, like, guys, I just got to get rid of some of this. I don't need to have piles of stuff that I am never going to use.
Yeah, I will die long before I paint every model I own.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned Kings of War. And it sounds like you don't really play the sci-fi offerings from other, you know, you're a fantasy guy through and through.
Yeah, through and through, yeah. Like, I've been playing D&D and role-playing games since I was 12.
Do you play any other, like, non-Ranks and Flanks games, like a skirmish game?
No, I am interested in trying out Kill Team. Yeah, I hear that's fun. And Trench Crusade, a bunch of my friends are going to start that, so I might give that a read as well. Like, I've got one of my friends who plays... a game called Team Yankee. It's like Flames of War, but with tanks.
It's World War III.
Yeah. So a bunch of my friends play a lot of these. Because I paint so slowly, it just takes me forever to get involved in something.
Something like Kill Team is interesting because it's a much smaller amount of models.
Exactly. That's why I might do it.
Yeah. And then there's other Mantic games as well. Dead Zone, which is, or Halo, which just came out.
Yeah.
They're more similar in size and scope to Kill Team, where you're only painting like 12 models, right?
Exactly.
And, or even less. And it's not, you know, and the games are, you know, Dead Zone in particular is a great game. I mean, I would argue it's better than Kings of War. It's their best rule set. I like games where I don't have to have a tape measure. You're just like, you're on a grid and you can just figure it out. It is a little unique in the sense that, you know, Kings of War is maybe segue here. Kings of War is abstracted line of sight. Right. And obviously Warhammer Fantasy and Age of Sigmar is truth line of sight.
Yeah.
How does that change impact your hobby, or does it not really have any impact?
It doesn't. Like, as long as I know that the don't get me wrong, it took me a little while to understand the leader point rule. Mm-hmm. But once I figured that out, everything was fine. It took a little time to get used to it. But now it's fine.
In terms of the rules, though, I mean, it sounds like you are a hobby guy, but you do like the rules. What are some of the things about the rule set that you do like?
I love the way spells are handled. They're a shooting attack. If you double move, if you get injured, you can't cast. I really feel that is a type of immersion that I can actually harken back to RPG. That's a really good type. That's a really good rule, in my opinion. You know, being disordered is a problem. And it should be if you have people trying to hack your arms off, you're not going to be waving them around in front of you. Another rule I really like is double attacks in the flank, triple attacks in the rear. It really helps you learn to position your angles better. Otherwise, you're just going to get smacked. Like, some of the most basic rules, I think, are really well written and are very clear and concise, which is what I love about this rule set. There's very little ambiguity.
Because the rules are streamlined, you don't end up with these weird interactions. I used to joke all the time, but, you know, what is the definition of unmodified leadership? I don't know. Let me look at the fact. What does it say this week?
Exactly.
Back then when I was playing fantasy, though, I didn't really know that I was playing a game that had maybe more complexity or more bloat. I didn't know what I was missing, right? Like, it was sort of like, when I came to Kings of War, it was like, oh, this is different. And it took me a while to get my head around it, because I'm like, oh, this just feels like it's, I need that stuff that I missed, that's missing. I need that. It's like, well, the more I play, the more I realize, no, I don't, the stuff that they took away is stuff that didn't actually move the game forward or increase my enjoyment. Pulling dead models off and then at the end of every game having to re-rank everybody, I don't miss that at all, man.
Yeah, neither do I. Like, I like to put my, I have everything magnetized, I put it on my metal tray, and I'm good.
You know, in terms of list construction, you've played lots of different games. How do you find the actual process of making an army list?
My vision of that is very unique, because I look at modeling opportunities rather than what they can do on the field. So I look at it like, you know, Dracons, they just happen to be good, so I took a lot of them. All my things don't always work well together, but as long as they look pretty, I'm happy.
Why don't you share the elf army that you brought to the Best of the Rest? Because it was a very unique list, and I was even scratching my head because there's no archers, no shooting in the list.
Yeah, and the only shooting was the Dragon Breath. That was it. All right, so I took the big block was I had a horde of Palace Guard because they're just really good. The 5 defense that they upped it to is really nice. I give them the hammer measured force, so it doesn't matter what I run into. You know, 25 attacks, I need 4s to wound you. 3s to hit with elite, it's nice. I'm going to do a lot of wounds. Took a couple units, took a couple regiments of Forest Guard because Pathfinder is just great. And, you know, their Thunder 1 is nice. In my opinion, and they got great nerve. They're 15 17s for a little regiment. It's pretty good.
We don't see that, those units.
And I don't know why. I really like them. They hang out a while. They can do a little bit of damage. You put Baneshan on them, you're doing all right. So I took one unit of Tall Spears. And the only reason I took them is because, well, they were cheap. They're just a unit that I can put out there on, like, keep in the center to get killed. Like, basically a chaff unit. But they do have phalanx, so if anything, you know, like a knight unit or a flying unit charges it, well, you know, that's going to be a tougher time for you. I've got a horde of Dracons. I've got the formation, which is 2 regiments of Dracons and the Dracon hero. I've got my dragon, Tyderian the Dragon Lord, like the named guy. Although in my more recent list, I dropped him back to just a regular Dragon Lord. Let's see, what else do I have? Yeah, I have the, what's it called, the King's Champion or Elven Champion, whatever it is, the individual. He's amazing for just one guy running around. His nerve is a 15, 17. He's, you know, he's got Crush 1. He's good. You know, he's duelist. And now 3 times attacks, you know, just nothing survives it. Then I got a Standard Bearer that I gave the loot to, so he casts Bane Chant. And he's got that Rampage 3 ability that affects my Forest Guard and my Horde of Palace Guard.
Rampage is so good.
Yeah, it's really good. But I think that, yeah, that's the list.
Well, now I want to pick your brain a little bit, because obviously you got a lot of background with AOS, and I'm really curious, you know, we talked about some of the differences between AOS and Kings of War, both in the rules and maybe the community, but like from a hobby perspective, like when you think about the hobby, how has your hobby changed when you're moving from AOS to Kings of War? And maybe I'm asking from a rules perspective, what is Kings of War unlocking for your hobby that you may not be able to do with AOS?
For the rules perspective, in AOS, almost every game I ever played, the fight happened in the middle of the board. Everybody just ran forward, you fought, and whoever won, won. Obviously, there's differences, like if you're fighting against a shooting army, you don't run forward, you shoot everybody to death. But generally, everybody fights in the middle of the table. Kings of War is not that way. Your flanks are just as important, if not more so, than the center of the board. So as far as the rules are concerned, that's the most important. But as far as the hobby is concerned, in AOS, every individual model is just a guy. So you can paint him and he's looking like, you know, the guy next to him. In Kings of War, you are not painting a guy, you are painting a diorama. In most instances, so you can have them in different heights. You can have them at different, like I can have some guys laying down if I want to. I can have them like I have my Dracons. I have like, you know, wings overlapping other wings, like just all over the place. Like the modeling opportunities are astounding. There's literally nothing you can't do on those big bases. And in AOS, it's not that case. Everything is very regimented.
Your Varga Army is King's War Army number 2. So obviously, you got to one-up yourself.
Oh, I do.
What's the next big thing?
Well, with these, I'm actually taking, like, my... You've seen the Frostfang Cav, right? The knights. Each one of those knights took me over 40 hours to paint. So I'm just trying to up my blending game, trying to get better and smoother paint. And I'm going to have them trampling over a snowfield, snow-covered fields with, I'm going to put all the hoof prints in the snow. I want to have, blood effects dripping off their weapons into the snow. That, to me, is just very visually appealing.
And we'll have some pictures of the Varanger and the Elf Army in the show notes. So if you're curious to see what an amazing painter Mark is, you can head over to the show notes. Or you want to do it even faster, you just go to Fanatics, because you are pretty prolific of posting, you know, work in progress pictures over there. I've seen lots of stuff. Here's a million-dollar question, though. As a hobbyist, how do you choose the models that you choose?
Whatever strikes me at the time. When I built my dragonflies, I was just like, I didn't like the wings the original models came with, so I poured through every range I could find and found these Nurgle Plaguefly wings, and that's what I used because they looked more dragonfly-like. And I painted them using color shift paint, so if you see them in one light, they look green, and another light, they look pink. It's just different modeling opportunities, things you could never do in AOS or 40K or any other game like that, because this game just has the most freedom as far as model choice is concerned.
Maybe that's something you can bring up too. You know, we don't prescribe that you have to use XYZ model, right? Mantic makes a bunch of models. A lot of people, including myself, you know, if I like the model range, I use it.
Yeah.
Like I have a Kingdoms of Half-Men army, which is, they don't make Kingdoms of Men.
Yeah.
It's Westphalia miniatures. Is AOS like that? I mean, if you show up to an event, can you use any models you want? Or is there I don't know how it works in AOS.
So normally like let's take Chaos in AOS, like Slaves to Darkness. If you have a Chaos Warrior unit, they have to be made of Chaos Warriors. Now you can convert them. You can change head swaps, weapon swaps, that sort of thing. But it needs to be a Chaos Warrior. I mean, there's really no getting around that. Like if you have a particular character, people need to know what that character is, so it has to be the model. Now, GW, because they're as large as they are, they have models to represent literally everything in their lists.
Well, they learned after the Chapter House debacle.
Yes, exactly right.
Don't have army books and codexes with units they don't make.
Yeah.
But I guess to that end, though, also there is the ability, you are truly on a site in AOS, so if you didn't have that, I guess people could model for advantage, right? You could have the crouching dragon. Oh, I can't see you.
That's a great advantage of Kings of War. Like everything has a clearly defined height. So no matter how you model it, that's what that height is. It's on right on your sheet.
Have you had a chance to go back and play any more Age of Sigmar since you've come over, been playing Kings of War? I mean, have you been back?
I have not. I've abandoned. I've got 3 armies next to me that I just haven't played in 2 years.
That's unfortunate. It would be interesting to hear your perspective after you went back to an AOS event and be able to share. Because Kings of War is this weird thing. And I shouldn't say just Kings of War. I think Ranks and Flanks. I know we have the Old World and we have Conquest, but it's certainly a diminishing crowd, right? Like there's less people that want to paint 200 models or whatever, right?
Yeah. Like if you want to do Skaven or Ratkin, and I hear Ratkin will surprise you. I hear they're better than people think.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah. But if you want to play Night Goblins or Skaven or something like that in Old World, you're painting 250 models.
Yeah.
No one has time for that.
Yeah. So I guess that's another thing that I guess Kings of War gives you. It gives you the feeling of a Ranks and Flanks game, maybe without having to actually paint, because we use the rule of cool, right? So if it's a 40-man horde and 32 models give you the look that you want, well, then you painted 32 models.
My Palace Guard has 21 models for a horde because I've got a stream running through it and all kinds of stuff to take up other space. I also have some forest animals. I got a cat, I got a raccoon. But you don't have to, in AOS or any other game, you just can't do that.
There's not enough room on the base.
Yeah, exactly.
The more I've been playing Kings of War, the less I don't play those other games, so I don't get to see some of those, some of the things that, that would actually make people maybe want to try Kings of War, right? It's a hard sell to get people to leave their game. Maybe talk to me about that. You're playing Age of Sigmar, you're hardcore, but what was the linchpin that said, okay, I'm making the move to try this other game?
It happened over time. It wasn't just one moment that just said, I'm done with this game. What wound up happening is, like, I went to several events, and eventually I just took stock of myself and said, I didn't really enjoy the experience. Like, I'll give you an example. Here's what you do not see in Kings of War, and I am grateful for it. I played a game, I had Slaves to Darkness, and I was playing against Karadrin Overlords, which is basically like Sky Dwarves, and they have a lot of shooting. I went first, turn one. I moved my army forward. I was done. He went turn one, got the double turn. So by the end of his second turn, my army was all dead. I had one model left on the table. That's just not fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a negative play experience.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was. I have yet to have that in Kings of War. No, granted, I've only played like 20 games so far, but I have yet to experience any negative play experience whatsoever.
To be fair, you know, Kings of War back in first edition, I had plenty of those types of experiences. Yeah. It was a new game and the rules were kind of, you know, they weren't mature. And so we did have my very first game in the tournament, I got shot off the table, you know.
Yeah.
We're in the 3.5 edition now. And, you know, we're whatever, 14 years on, you know, and fourth edition's around the corner. So, you know, I think every edition, you know, that's another thing I wanted to ask you. You know, I don't know how unique this is, but, you know, my experience, you know, Kings of War, they're evolution rather than revolution when they have new rule sets, like a new edition. When 8th edition came and Fantasy came out, it was a completely different game.
Yeah, it was.
And a bunch of people left because it's like, this is not the game. This was not 7th edition.
You remember the Purple Sun fiasco?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just think maybe speak to that. I mean, is that something that was interesting to you?
That's actually the number one selling point. So I got a friend named John Helbig. I don't know if you know him or not. He's a great guy, like always wins, like not always, but most of the time he's in the running for best sportsman. Like he's a great ambassador to the game. And when at that ACO, when I went up and talked to him about Kings of War, like one of my big frustrations with AOS was the rule set, the meta changing every month, every time a new book came out, because it wasn't a subtle change. It became drastic. Like whatever the new book came out was, that was the hotness. And if you wanted to win an event, that's the army you took. In Kings of War, John told me, said, listen, that doesn't happen. He's like, there's an update once a year, sometimes twice a year. He's like, it's called Clash of Kings. There's a book that they release and that's it. Like he was like, you know, everything is, he didn't use the word stagnant, but he said, everything is the same for that entire time period. Nothing changes. You're not going to find, like, you know, your army works one way today, but tomorrow it's completely different. And all the units you have are now garbage and the other units you didn't use are better. So that was a big selling point for me.
Yeah, it's definitely a different approach for marketing a game.
Yeah.
There's arguments, I'm sure, from a business perspective, maybe they're leaving money on the table by not having the churn. But, you know, in my mind, if I just think about it at a very simplistic level, Kings of War allows people to play the game on a casual level. They don't have to play it like a lifestyle game, like a Magic the Gathering.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Where you literally have to know all the rules, right? All the time, engage. And so, you know, it allows people to go, look, this is my side game. This is my side hustle. And I'm going to play this game off and on. I'm going to play it once a month, or I'm going to play it every 3 months. And the rate of change in the game is such that when you come back 3 months later, your army's probably basically the same.
Yeah.
You know, there may be some tweaks if you hit it at Clash of Kings.
Some minor tweaks somewhere.
It's not wholesale.
Yeah.
Not like if a new army book drops, you know, your army's completely different. New units, maybe some of the units have been replaced.
And the stats definitely changed. Like nothing is the same.
It's interesting. It's you know, and like I said before, I mean, I can fully appreciate there's people that enjoy that chasing of the dragon, that you know, the constant meta shift.
Sure,
some people like that. I'm of an age, Mark. I am over 50 as well, and I don't know. I'm at a point in my life where I don't want to keep up. I don't want to chase it. You know, I want to paint an army and know that 3 years from now it's probably going to be about the same.
Yeah, exactly. Like I know, like when my friends told me that the elves are being updated, I said, okay, what can I expect? And like, I may need to paint a new unit. I may need to drop out a unit, but that's okay. I'm not completely remaking the army. I don't need to do that.
Plus you have the ability, if you wanted to play into something else, there's going to be other corollaries, you know, other armies that you would be able to use that in.
Yeah, exactly right. Like my dragonflies could be, you know, what are they called? The Scorchwings or something like that.
Like I said, this has been a long time coming, and this is the first, and we should tell everybody, this is the first of many, many conversations we're going to have.
I appreciate that.
We have a whole list of topics that we are going to bring Mark on, and we are going to do deep dives Jordan is chomping at the bit to talk painting techniques for large armies. I can't wait to talk about, because you're such a high-end painter, like, what do you do to speed this process up?
I don't. There is no speeding.
The mindset to go in and plan an army, you know, the diorama basing that we can do, whether it's paintbrush or airbrush. So there's tons of stuff that I am really excited to get Mark back on to chat with us about. And to that end, if you're listening to this and you have ideas for conversations or topics that we should be having with Mark, you know, when this episode posts, make sure you drop in those ideas on the Counter Church Facebook group. But Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, my brother, I do appreciate it. Like I said, you're one of the greatest people I met at these tournaments. I really appreciate the opportunity here. By the way, your army kicked my ass. Let's put that out there.
I'm always like, when I show up to like the best of the rest, you know, I'm a good middle table player, but I'm not great. You know, I'll win in a tournament every 6 years, and I have to be ogres. Well, I'm always like at a disadvantage because I don't want to be the guy that ruins someone's hobby.
Yeah, I get that.
But I'm always super conscious of making sure we're giving, you know, people, because I don't want to like assume, oh, this guy must be new, right? I've done that once, and my buddy Ben Bowers kicked the shit out of me. Like, I was like, oh, you must be new to the game. And he just beat the out of me. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, look, like you were very patient with me when I was learning. So I do appreciate it. I can't wait for the rematch because, you know, this time it's going to be me, brother.
Varanger are just great. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be back again with Mark in the very near future. So that's going to do us tonight. Thanks for listening. And when all else fails, don't forget to countercharge.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on Countercharge. Please let us know what you thought of the show by emailing us at counterchargepodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at countercharge15, or by commenting on the Countercharge Kings of War podcast Facebook group. If you enjoy the show, you can help others find out about it by leaving positive reviews on iTunes. Until next time, keep countercharging. Music is a composition of Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under Creative Commons.